Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. Belle Starr here. And I'm sitting by myself on the couch. Oh, I know. That's no good. But unfolds the magic of the day in marijuana. Makes it all better. So sit down with me. Get a cup of Pedialyte like I have. I had a rough day yesterday. Grab a cup of coffee. Get your ganja going. And let's have a good morning. Aloha to the Cannabis Kid. He's in Hawaii. Well, on his way anyway. Happy anniversary to you and your man. Congratulations, and keep it up, keep it going. You guys are awesome and inspiration, and we love and miss you over here. But have a good time. Are you going to do some pig roasting, and are you going to put on a hula hoop or skirt or whatever those are, hula skirt, and do it up? That would be fun. You got it. I know you're on, he'll be on Facebook, so he'll be shooting lots of fun photos over. But for you guys this morning, I'm hoping that we have a piece star follow-up. I can tell you a little bit about that day myself, since I was there all day. We're going to do some reading from High Times, and we've got lots of news and information, and who knows what coming on. So welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. And a great big shout-out to my buddy in the Netherlands. We've been chatting it up online all morning, and terrific person. I'm trying to get this guy to come on air with us. He's in the Netherlands, and he tunes in almost every week. And for our four-year anniversary show on the 16th of this month, we're going to have some great guests. Robert Platschorn is coming on with Heidi Hanford, Irvin Rosenfeld, and more. We've got some great guests coming on. So get on over to Weed Day Wednesday that day. Let me look at the calendar. Maybe I'm shooting off the wrong day. No, I was right. Phew. It's the 16th. That's when our – today is – well, actually, Friday will be the actual anniversary of our radio show, and we'll talk all about that. That was a very great night, and we made some great, great friends and some incredibly funny and fantastic memories. I think it was the shortest show we've ever had. It was like 45 minutes or 47 minutes or something, but it was fantastic. Anyway, let's get to some ganja. If you have the latest High Times, if you don't, you can come down to Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come get certified. Come get your latest editions of High Times. I think it's like $6, $5.99 USA. And, and then it looks like everywhere else is $5.99 too. So they dropped the price worldwide, it looks like. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But did you know they switched their High Times cannabis cups? They used to go to Amsterdam for 25 years. They went there, and they said they ditched the chilly climates and went over to Jamaica for some Rastafari time. So we'll check into that later. And did you all know that Arizona's getting ready to vote on some more dispensaries? All right. You might see a Tumbleweed dispensary out there soon. Wouldn't that be fun? But we're getting ready to add some more because there aren't enough. There are a lot of people way out in the Wild West, way out in the corners of Arizona that have a hard time getting their medicine. And, yes, there are delivery systems, but I don't know. I think they would probably charge an awful lot to drive an hour one way to get to somebody, to get their meds to them. So hopefully these people are far enough away that they can grow themselves, or they have a really good friend who likes to come share with them. Because it's hard if you're in a wheelchair, if you are paralyzed, or if you're just having a bad day and you can't get out but you need your meds. God bless your friends and deliveries. But God bless the states like ours that allow us to grow. I know it's a 25-mile rule. So, you know, if you live within 25 miles of a dispensary, you don't have to choose just one. You can go to any of them, but you do have to go to a dispensary. But the laws are changing, and we're getting ready to vote this year. We've got two initiatives out there that are both looking like they're going to get on the ballot, actually. So you're going to have a choice to choose. And we have the AZFMR initiative down at our health center. It's for mindful regulation. It just seems a little more mindful, a little more sensible to us. So, but we've also got a comparison chart, so you can sit down there and read the pros and cons of both initiatives and choose for yourself. That's really what we're all about here, folks. We just really want everyone to have the choice to be able to use cannabis if they want or not. You know, I don't go over to my neighbor's house and say, "Hey, man, you shouldn't be using that." Although, you know, maybe I want to, but you know, go in their cupboards and pull stuff out so you can't have that. I mean, that's pretty much what the government's doing. It's like, nope, can't use that, can't use that. Well, it looks like we're using it, and it looks like everybody else wants to as well. So this is going to be a really big year for politics, and I'm just going big this year. So I was talking with my Netherlands buddy online, and he presented a menu from a cafe. And I love it. They've got three sections here. Weed, because you put your weed in it. I love that thing. They got a hash section, and they have a section for joints. So in their weed section, they've got some Amnesia, cheese, white pearl. Ooh, that looks good. Northern Light, Edelweiss, Silver Haze, and Critical. They don't list what they are, sativas or indicas. You probably mostly know what most of those are. Then they've got some killer-looking hash here and some joints. They have an Oster Power joint and a Super Pollen, 5 grams. One stuck for 44 euros. So I'm assuming that's gram-like or something. That's my boy out there guarding the compound. So there you go. You can go to the Netherlands and get that. You can come over here and you can do some shopping online here. You can get, we've got, I'm just going to read off one of our dispensary's menus. So we did the Netherlands, why not ours? This is coming from Earth Healing, ACDC, Earth Grow Champatsu, Grape LA, Headband, Space Balm, Sweet Tooth, those are the ones that they grew. They've got Grape Ape. Oh, I love the Grape Apes. They've got a Grape Ape Blueberry Cross, and then they've got Teeth Pre-Rolls, the Blackberry Wreck. Ooh. But it looks like they got a lot. They got a lot of edibles and things and hash and concentrates. Anyone want to comment on concentrates out there? You know, we used to just, before we started understanding them, I think a lot of people thought concentrates were just, you know, to get you the highest you could possibly get. Well, maybe. That's fine. If that's what you want to use it for, that's fine. In fact, there's a new psychedelic club in town that one of the members of AZ for Normal started, and you can participate down there. But the really high levels of THC, what we're finding are that we get, like, stage 4 cancer patients that come in, and they're a lot of pain, folks. You know, it's, I saw my dad go through some of this, and this was a man that never complained, and he said it was shitty one day. That was it. Sorry, I had to say it on air. But, you know, it was painful for him and for so many, and this high level of THC that is so good for pain, you're getting 60, 70, 80, 90% THC. That can knock your pain out of the park in an instant. You do a dab of that, you hit that, and your pain's gone. And God bless it. What is wrong with that? What's wrong with being pain-free? And what's wrong with using a non-toxic plant to do so? I say nothing, folks, so I say let's do it. Interesting, the sativas are more expensive over there. Oh, that's nice. I could go over there and get loaded on indicas all day. That'd be fantastic, because that's my cup of tea. Just some interesting news facts we'll read here while we're waiting for our guests to come on air. And we were going to do a Peace Fair follow-up. I don't know if any of you attended that on Saturday. It was 11-4 at Reed Park, Band Shell Reed Park. It was fantastic. There were a lot more, it seemed like there were a lot more tables. It seemed a lot more organized. There were a lot more people coming around, and we had a great day. And thank you to the staff of Tumbleweed Health Center for kicking some serious booty down there and talking it up and teaching people about cannabis. And we sold a lot of books. It's what we're all about is education. We sold a lot of accessories. We had new people coming down and asking questions, and they're coming in the center this week to check things out because it's important to understand cannabis. Blue Dream is number one selling strain in Colorado and Washington still, interestingly. In Washington, Blue Dream sales were nearly 2 times more than the number two selling strain, Cherry OG. Oh, I love me a good OG. While in Colorado, statistics show that Blue Dream sales were about 1.25 times higher than the number two selling, Durban Poison. That's a really good one, too. And this was throughout much of 2015. So Blue Dream, if you don't know, is a hybrid. Blueberry, and kind of look that up. It's a good one. But it's one of those happy, energetic, mellow at the same time. We had a patient come to us after getting some Blue Dream saying that he played his guitar for like 12 hours. He hadn't picked it up in a while, and he kind of got in the zone and was feeling good and feeling relaxed and just played. BDS Analytics takes information from both medical and recreational marijuana sales to compile a list of the most successful strains sold by dispensaries that choose to participate with BDS Analytics. Over 20 million transactions were included in the analysis. According to BDS Analytics founder Rory Bingham, good marketing is part of Blue Dream's high sales numbers. Yes, it is. And High Times Magazine just did a big old write-up on it, so I'm sure that didn't help. Right? Bingham says, we have literally thousands of strains in our database, and Blue Dream is number one in both Washington and Colorado. There's clearly marketing around individual strains, and bud tenders point consumers in the direction of a particular product. I imagine that soon there will be less opinion and more science around that, civilized reports. Bingham calls the market volatile and immature due to the emergence of new products and brands in the industry. Branding is becoming more popular in Colorado. It is an effort to make the experience at a dispensary more like going to a local corner store that people are familiar with. Bingham believes this is a very immature market and still very volatile. New products and brands emerge very quickly as people try new marketing campaigns and marketing structures. So there's a lot of significant change, but it's hard to say what will be. Blue Dream is a very popular hybrid marijuana strain that's made from crossing haze and blueberry strains. There you have it. Because of its popularity, it is commonly sold at dispensaries. It is a good daytime option to treat. Discomfort, depression, and nausea typically has a high THC percentage, which helps provide a lot of relief from chronic pain. So there you have it. I love it. And Blue Dream's a good one. It's a little, for me, it's a little too energetic. The sativa's really like, they mess with my head too much. I like indicas. They help my body more. I don't know if any of you know this, but at the Oscars, did anyone watch that? Those were kind of silly. They have gift bags that they give out, and they are worth about $200,000 in each gift bag. And this year, they included a marijuana vaporizer. Oh, I wonder whose idea that was. I bet Whoopi got a hold of them. Haze vaporizers were a part of showbiz's biggest red carpet event this year at the Oscars. Celebrities were given gift bags worth over $200,000 this year. Included in the bag were a variety of high-end items, an expensive trip, and last but not least, a versatile Haze Dual V3 vape, reports CNN. Interesting that they get expensive trips because I could probably already buy them, but retailing for just under $250, the Haze Dual V3 vaporizer works for dry flower, liquids, and concentrates. Wow, it also works with marijuana wax products. The device lets the user heat their marijuana substance of choice and then cools the substance just before it is inhaled. Ooh, marijuana-related products have proven to be useful inclusions as far as marketing and gaining industry support in celebrity gift bags. The items help show the versatility of the marijuana industry. Gifting marijuana-related items puts the items in the hands of some of the country's biggest influencers, which can help the industry grow. This is the second consecutive year the Haze products has been included in the Oscar Award gift bag. No celebrities have commented yet in regards to whether or not they will use the Haze Dual 3 vape. It's the Haze Dual V3 vape. Wow, that's a mouthful. Get the V3, man. And maybe we'll start selling them at Tumbleweeds. It sounds like a pretty cool product. The Haze. And how cool. Let's see here. We've got some folks on hold. We're gonna check it out and make sure that we get the right person here. But if you guys want to call in, you can do so at 646-915-8421. Now, don't get scared, but if you press number 1, you'll be put into queue, and that shows me that you want to come on air. So we're going to take our first call here, and I hope it's either Tom or Mary from the Peace Fair, and we'll put you on air. If not, we'll ask you what you think about cannabis. Hello, you're on air. Good morning. All right, good morning to you. Mary or Tom? Tom or Mary? All right. If that's not the case, we're just going to put you back on mute there. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for listening. yeah, that one. We'll just get back to some news here. And did you know? Oh, this is interesting. I was checking this out this morning. I got up super early. Didn't sleep much last night, but I needed to. I don't know. It was hard. I needed some cannabis, but I wasn't feeling so good. So I was thinking it would be nice to have I don't know if anyone's tried the strain Caramelicious out there. It's an indica, and it will knock you right out. But I wanted a Caramelicious patch last night. That would have been nice to just stick on my arm and go to sleep. And I know they're making the patches out there, but they got to make a Caramelicious strain because it makes Unisom look like a sissy. Anyway. Let's get to this. Google executive quits job to join the marijuana industry. Well, that's not surprising. The former head of Asia-Pacific sales at Google, Alan Gertner, says that marijuana is the new internet and quit his lucrative position at Google to launch the marijuana business Tokyo Smoke with his father. Wow, Tokyo Smoke has a coffee bar and its own branded clothing. It also offers marijuana-related paraphernalia such as rolling papers. All right, that's pretty cool. Gertner reflected on his overall happiness and fulfillment from life while in Ghana working on national internet infrastructure. During that time, he spoke about losing focus and feeling unfulfilled with the Ghanaian tour guide, SF Gate reports. He said, for the first time in my life, the excitement of another promotion of more money was non-existent. I felt empty, in need of change, despite having the dream job I had always wanted. With a background based upon analytics, Alan created a spreadsheet to measure the metrics of the happiness and meaning in his life. The results show that his three main passions are marijuana, clothing, and coffee. So 1 year after realizing what his true passion in life is, Gertner said, today, I'm not distracted with the career ladder, but instead stimulated by the power of beginning a meaningful journey doing something I genuinely love. That's pretty awesome. An article penned by Gertner himself for the Globe and Mail, he said, I believe cannabis is the next internet, an immense and untrammeled new market opportunity, and Tokyo Smoke is gearing up to take advantage of it. At least 10% of North Americans consume cannabis on a regular basis, and consumer product brands have yet to enter this enticing mainstream rapidly legalizing space. Oh, it will. Don't you worry. It will, that's for sure. Cannabis is getting really popular, if you want to say that. We get sent some interesting photos by our Netherlands bloggers, and it's the difference between what a mugshot with a person, you know, taking meth, heroin, alcohol, or weed looks like, and the guy in the, you know, right-hand corner is the before and after, he's smiling. You gotta laugh at life sometimes. You gotta have some humor in it. We know that. Did you know that Canada legalized medical marijuana home cultivation? Right on. This is something we support. I know it's not typical of people growing their own pain medicine, but why not? I mean, if it's a possibility to plant, folks, why wouldn't... Okay, I know money, but in greed. All right, fine, whatever. Let's just read it. Canadian federal judge Michael Phelan ended the ban on home marijuana cultivation for medical marijuana patients He gave the Canadian government a period of 6 months to devise new rules. Cultivation is, is approved for medical marijuana patients only. An initial injunction permits only about 28,000 Canadians to grow their own medical marijuana. Those not covered by the original injunction must wait 6 months to begin home cultivation, according to CBS News. Lawyer Kirk Tussaud calls this a complete victory in his statement. Basically, we won, and it was a complete victory. The marijuana for medical purposes regulations were declared to be unconstitutional and violate the charter rights of medical cannabis patients. He also said that we proved that growing medical cannabis can be perfectly safe and can be done completely in compliance with the new law, and people ought to have a right to do that without fear of being arrested and locked in cages for that activity. Oh, I applaud that. I completely applaud that. There shouldn't be any fear in it. There should not be any fear in growing and taking care of yourself whatsoever. That's just ridiculous. The initial ban on home cultivation began in 2013 and restricted some patients from having access to medical marijuana, forcing them to the black market. It was also found that not allowing patients to find their own legal supplier or dispensing location was also causing issues among patients. A new set of regulations must be carefully drawn up prior to review and approval before they are put into motion. The new rules will better help regulate Canada's medical marijuana program and allow patients improved access to their medicine. So that's awesome. They get improved access to medicine. They get to grow their own. And, you know, it's not hard. It's not a hard plant to grow. If you're going to, like, try and grow ganja buds and you want to be a High Times Cannabis Cup winner, all right, well, you might have to invest a little bit. If you want a little good medicine and some maybe juice every morning, you're good. You need a pot, some dirt, and some water, and you're good to go. It's not too hard. So way to go, Canada. That's all I have to say. And so for us over here in the United States of America, former Attorney General wants marijuana rescheduled. I love it. You know him and Barack are hanging. Former Attorney General Eric Holder says that it is time to consider decriminalizing and rescheduling marijuana in the United States of America. Let's do this. Holder suggests moving marijuana to a lower scheduling. He stated, I certainly think it ought to be rescheduled, you know. We treat marijuana in the same way we treat heroin now, and that is clearly not appropriate. Yeah, seriously, what the heck's up with that? And Little Miss Hillary wants to stick it in the category with cocaine. Hello, Hillary. So at a minimum, I think Congress, Congress needs to do that, at least reschedule. I think we need to look at what happens in Colorado and Washington and go from there. Holder was asked about public health issues and decriminalizing drugs, and he said that the whole question of should marijuana be decriminalized, that's a conversation I think we should engage in. Examining the progress in these states would help generate rescheduling and decriminalization discussions in Congress. Two major benefits of rescheduling and decriminalizing marijuana would be that more scientific research opportunities on the medical benefits from marijuana would become available, and law enforcement could focus more on violent crimes instead of nonviolent crimes such as simple possession of marijuana and use. Seriously. I mean, get real. We got everything we ever had in our life stolen. You know what the police said? Go get it yourself. We don't have time. Really? But you got time to bust Joe Schmo over there because he's got a pipe in his car. So that took, 4 hours, 3 cars, you know, because 2 got backup, right? So then there's, 2 people in each car. So there's 6 reports. That's another 12 hours. Let's see what else. And then they got to go, you know, they got to submit it, and then they got to discuss it, and they got to get called into the office. There's another 12. So we're talking, there's over 100 hours right there in just a single possession of marijuana pipes. And who paid for that? You did. We did. Well, not our Netherlands friend. He's got a nice menu to go choose from after work. Not even fair. Anyway, we're happy we have a program. But I think this is funny. And maybe we should have this in in our health center, too. Companies are selling pipes for Bernie Sanders' campaign. Go, Bernie. Looks like you've got some Chillum and some small and medium ceramic pipes that say Bernie 2016. They're really pretty. They look ceramic. I think we're going to get them. Yeah, we're going to get those, and we're going to get the pipes. We're going to get the vaporizer. It's the Haze something D3. I forgot already. It's too big of a name, but they give it in the gift bags at the Oscars. We're getting those. So if you guys want to get fancy and schmancy, come on down to Tumbleweed Cell Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come on down. Certifications are only $85. Okay, the state fee is ridiculous. It's $150. But if you're getting certified or recertified with us, we drop our fee $20. Come on, state of Arizona. Match it. Do it. Let's have it. With Bernie Sanders' open support of marijuana legalization, one business owner supporting the presidential candidate in his own way, ceramic pipe creator Ariel Zimmern has a line of smoking ware specifically designed with the Sanders campaign logos. Other marijuana industry supporters have created bumper stickers. Zimmern says that 10% of the sales proceeds are donated directly to the campaign. The bumper sticker maker, Jackie Dandelion, donates to the campaign as well. She does not disclose the exact amount on her website, but includes a disclaimer noting that a portion of the proceeds is donated to Sanders' campaign. The legality of promoting logo gear to donate toward political campaign raises a few eyebrows. Experienced attorneys warn against advertising products for sale and directly indicating that campaign donations are being made from the proceeds. Use of the logos without permission have also raised a bit of concern as well. But I wonder if they got permission. Zimmern made a statement to the Center for Public Integrity saying, "It was really just a way to show my support for him as a candidate. People love the pipes, and once they hear they are contributing in some way to the campaign, they're all about that too." Well, there you go. I mean, people aren't going to buy the pipes if they don't like Bernie. And once they know that they're contributing in some way, they don't even have to do anything but buy a pipe. And can't go wrong with that. So smoke out of your Bernie pipe today. It's coming soon. It's Emily Pelton. So... this political race. Oh boy. I think what they should all do is sit around and pass the Bernie pipe around. They should all have a pipe with their name on it, and they should all have to share. They should all pick a favorite strain, tell why they like it, how it makes them feel. It could be like passing the feather around. They could do a little pass the political pipe around. I think it'd be great. Well, you know what else I think is great?
Puff, puff, puff.
Like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up. Got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge. It used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high. Looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
Know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma. They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plants illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a run, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Woohoo! I'm supposed to have like an audience clap. Thank you. 4, 3, 2, 1, and welcome back to Weed Save Wednesday, everybody. Here we go. Oh boy, let's just get this right here. When you don't have your sound guy around, it's kind of rough. So aloha to the cannabis kid. He is on his way to Hawaii. So I thought I'd take over the show and teach the guy something fun about Bellstar, a.k.a. the Petticoat Wildcat. That'd be me. Here we go. Here's a little history on Bellstar, just for fun. Has nothing to do with cannabis, although I bet she smoked some baddies in her day. I could see her walking around with a spliff. Could totally see it. A little tobacco, a little wacky tobacco, and tobacco. We got this. Bellstar. Myra Maybell Shirley was born in Carthage, Missouri on February 5th, 1848. That's a great surprise. As a young girl, she helped raise the four other Shirley children, assisted the family in horse business, and learned to be an entertainer in her father's Carthage saloon, known as the Shirley House. Nicknamed Belle, she entertained the saloon's customers with her singing. Ooh, I won't do that. You guys are safe. In the late 1850s, Shirley House attracted a number of Southern sympathizers, many of whom eventually joined the rebel guerrilla forces in the Civil War. Belle's brother, Bud, became a guerrilla leader, and no doubt frequently brought home men such as Jesse and Frank James and the younger brothers. As the Civil War turned Missouri into an inferno, John Shirley gathered his family, his remaining slaves, and a few horses and departed for Texas, the place where the legend of Bellstar would begin. Settling in the small community of Cyrene, Texas, today's East Dallas, the Shirleys opened a boarding house and saloon. Following the war, Jim Reed, Jesse, and Frank James, the youngers and others of their like, also found their way to Texas. Reed had no doubt first met the Shirleys when he lived in Rich Hill, Missouri, and he quickly renewed his relationship with Myra. Reed and Myra Maybell Shirley married in San Antonio, Texas on November 1st, 1866, not long after Reed and a few of his ex-guerrilla associates robbed San Antonio, Austin Sage. Following his marriage, Reed continued his life of crime and eventually made friends with a Cherokee Indian leader named Sam Starr. Now, Sam Starr is, honest to God, Cannabis Kid's third or fourth grandfather. Cannabis Kid's parents actually housed Bellstar in their barn, or their parents' parents. So there's a real Bellstar in this whole group here. This is why I'm also reading. Anyway, so following, he made friends with a Cherokee Indian leader named Sam Starr, and their friendship was short-lived, however, for Reed's life soon ended. Ooh, Jim Reed made the mistake of assisting some friends in collecting a gambling debt in an Evansville saloon and unfortunately killed one of the debtors. These guys are bad. Bounty hunter John Morris soon tracked Reed to a farm along the banks of the Red River and killed him. Shortly after her husband's death, Belle left for the Indian Territory, married Sam Starr, thereby gaining the political prestige associated with the Starr name. She became both a Starr and a madam of a boarding house saloon along in the Canadian River known as the Younger's Bend, certainly named after her friend Cole Younger. Younger's Bend was located 50 miles west of Fort Smith, Arkansas, which Belle often visited. While in Fort Smith, Belle attracted a lot of attention, seeing her riding side saddle in a long velvet dress with two pearl-handed pistols strapped to her waist. Ow! Fort Smith's many newspaper reporters, some of whom wrote national publications, were smitten and created the legend of Belle Starr, the outlaw queen. Ooh, that's awesome. Before long, she became the leader of numerous outlaw bands. And here we go. Here's where they're going to just knock us right down. And we don't believe this. The truth was that Belle never led any outlaw band and only carried her pistols for protection for riding home late at night. Nevertheless, Belle enjoyed her growing reputation. Anyway, having married a Cherokee political leader, Belle naturally became concerned that many of the Indians' treaty rights were not being honored. She could frequently be found with her attorney in Judge Parker's courtroom defending a Cherokee from some wrongful accusation. Well, hot diggity dog. I'm not saying. Her concern for Indian rights soon gained Belle esteem throughout the Indian nations and also from Judge Parker. Belle had many enemies as well as friends. Consequently, the way she died was no surprise. Riding home from Fort Smith on the afternoon of February 3rd, 1889, Belle stopped by the home of Jackson Rowe, where a group of Cherokees were holding an afternoon party. After sampling some of Miss Rowe's cornbread and visiting with the neighbors, Belle headed home. Not far from Younger's Bend, she was shot twice. The first shot knocked Belle off a horse, and the second one probably ended her life. Her killer was never found. The next day, Belle's body was discovered beside the River Road at age 41. The legendary Belle Starr, destined to become the star of so many books and magazines, was no more. Wow, that's rough. You should see this picture, though. Oh, my God, that's a rough-looking lady. Imagine that. Belle, we're sorry, and I take your name on with such pride and honor now. I didn't know you were a friend of the Indian, and so am I. So there you have it. We're bringing them back. All right. That's Belle Starr. There's the legend. And I got that down in Tombstone. Did I tell you about my Dr. Quinn? Yeah, I did. I know. I won't go off on that again. But I could. But I won't. So here's what we're going to do. Looks like we're not going to have a Peace Fair follow-up. That's okay. I can tell you it was an awesome event, and our tumbleweed staff kicked booty. I won't say the other word, but they really did. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being there all day and hanging out and spreading tumbleweed's love and sharing information and selling education and books and all sorts of stuff to keep us going and keep cannabis moving. So right now I'm going to read a little bit to you about peace, love, and ganja. After 27 cups in wintry Amsterdam, High Times ditched the cold and took the 2015 World Cannabis Cup somewhere a bit warmer, planting new seeds in pot paradise, Jamaica. All right. Rum punch. Lots of rum punch. And maybe a red stripe. All in the airport lounge before I ever stepped outside into the inland sun. That's pretty much all I remember from my first day in Jamaica. I definitely begged the bus driver who was carting us from airport an hour and a half south to Negril to make a quick pit stop. Somehow, my urgent bathroom break resulted in a fresh round of rum punches. I was sloshed on the bus and had yet to lay eyes on any ganja, but that was about to change fast. Cannabis, marijuana, weed, pot, ganja, whatever you call it, will still get you stoned. And Jamaica, a country synonymous with marijuana culture, seems like an obvious place to hold a cannabis cup. But getting there wasn't easy. Nearly 40 years after Bob Marley first appeared on the cover of High Times holding a massive amount of illegal herbs, Jamaica finally passed drug law reforms last February, recognizing the rights of the Rastafari community to use pot as a sacrament and decriminalizing the possession of small amounts. That helped pave way for our inaugural event in the country. Can you imagine High Times Cannabis Cup in Jamaica? Well, we missed the Amsterdam one. Now we're going to Jamaica much better, way better, way warmer. Yet, even with the new laws, the Jamaican government made it clear that permission to hold a cannabis cup would be contingent on a partnership with the Rastafari community, an exemption permit protecting all in attendance from prosecution for ganja would only be granted for events organized for the purpose of the celebration or observance of the Rastafarian faith. For High Times, that meant a lot of reasoning, specifically a lot of reasoning sessions with the organizers of the Rastafari Roots Fest, who agreed to host the Cannabis Cup in conjunction with their own educational and spiritual events, which celebrates Rastafari culture and liberty. It's very important to understand that the exemption that has been given to this event is because it is a Rastafari event that Jamaican Minister of Justice Mark Golding, who granted the first ever exemption permit to Roots Fest speaking at the Cannabis Cup's opening ceremony. And so all of us who are here, whether Rasta or not Rasta, all of us are here to share and learn and enjoy the culture of this movement which came out of this country. To say I learned a lot would be an understatement. In fact, I was thrown headfirst in the deep well of Jamaican culture and Rastafari ideas, only to emerge so drenched in knowledge that I was left ripping wet, shaking, and more than a bit uncomfortable, at least at first. To be fair, growing up in the Bible Belt can really fuck up the way you view religion. I'm reading from a magazine, folks. Plus, I was pretty darn high throughout the entire event. So, while my observations might not exactly be objective, they're authentic nonetheless. The global celebration of ganja was held in Negril's famous 7 Mile Beach. On one side of the event space, vendor booths were spread out across a giant soccer field leading to the incredibly gorgeous white sand beach and turquoise ocean. The other side consisted of a shaded promenade known as Rasta Village, an area set up by the Roots Fest organizers. I wouldn't mind being on either side of that little pathway there. Sounds awesome. As a designated Rastafari religious event, the whole affair was alcohol-free, no more rum punch for me, and etal, which basically meant that all the food on-site was vegan, but like actually healthy vegan, no french fries. As someone who has been known to eat Twix bars. Wow. So an entirely vegan meal with religious Rastafari weed. Sounds like a good day to me. Holy cow. As someone who has been known to eat Twix bars for breakfast and consider pretty much everything other than beef a vegetable, chicken and fish are close on the food pyramid to lettuce, right? I was hesitant to plunge pork first into an etal dish, but the munchies quickly wore me down, and I queued up for a taste of Deb's non-dairy ice cream. Let's just say its creamy deliciousness and flavor changed my life. I had pineapple coconut for breakfast and rum raisin for dinner. Plus, I have to admit that once I began branching out to other food stands, I ended up being even more impressed. I had no idea that tofu, lentils, and tempeh could be so tasty. Sure, I was stoned, but the food was beyond solid. That doesn't mean I said no when High Times cultivation editor at large, Nico Escondido, offered me a contraband fast food burger, but I did learn that I will eat and love anything smothered in scotch bonnet pepper sauce. They say that when it rains, it pours, and that's nowhere truer than Jamaica. Just when you think that suffocation from the island's 90 degree heat, 80% humidity is imminent, the heavens open, releasing a torrential downpour that might let up just as quickly as it started, or could last for hours on end. We traveled to Jamaica during the country's rainy season, and boy, did it pour, but we were lucky. Yes, our first day was wet, and on our last day, the entire event space flooded, but Friday and Saturday were picturesque and beautiful, clear blue skies, beaming rays of sun, and the occasional breeze coming out of the ocean. It's the kind of weather that simply doesn't exist in Amsterdam, home to High Times' previous 27 International Cannabis Cups in November. I ended up returning to New York with a tan. By any measure, escaping to a tropical island to work a cannabis-centric event sounds like a dream come true, but it was indeed work. And there were plenty of difficult conditions to contend with, from spotty Wi-Fi to think about uploading photos would render the connection useless, to spiders lurking in the grass. I'm arachnophobic and may or not have cried in front of my coworkers after spotting a particularly large one. Sorry, Bessie, you share that too. However, the technical obstacles and spiders aside, the reason we're in Jamaica was for the ganja, and the ganja didn't disappoint. It was literally everywhere. Vendors' tables were overflowing with trays of herb. Attendees pulled massive amounts of bud out of their backpacks. Almost everyone around me was choking on a joint. It was a beautiful sight. Jamaica's rich history is steeped in sativa. The country's sun-drenched climate and latitude have allowed many land-based strains to grow for some generations there. Yes, hybridization is rampant in Jamaica just like everywhere else, but we did find a few strains among the entries. No, the genetics and technology, were not on par with those found in California or Colorado, but that doesn't mean that Jamaica weed is dirt. On the contrary, most of the ganja that has been properly dried and cured will give you all kinds of warm and fuzzy feels. I believe it was High Times senior grow editor Danny Danko who described it as giggly electricity. A phrase that can easily and readily be used to describe the entire cup. Celebration of peace, love, and unity, ganja. Different cultures joining together to live, learn, and grow. For example, on the first day of the event at exactly 4:20 p.m., of course, legendary cultivator and High Times alum Kyle Cushman married his longtime love, Susie, in the seminar tent in front of cup attendees, loved ones, Rasta elders, High Times staff, and others. Congratulations! That's awesome. I was wondering what that picture is all about. Look how cute that is. He even combed his little hair and cut it all back. Go Kyle! When Susie presented her gorgeous bouquet, appropriately accented with sprigs of ganja, to Rasta elder Mama Faya of the Nyabingi order, it seemed as though universal harmony had finally arrived. I stood on stage watching the audience from behind my laptop during the Cannabis Cup Awards show 3 days later and felt that same profound sense of accord. In an immense crowd, I braved hours of stormy weather to enjoy the evening ceremony. That's really awesome. The rain was gone, having wiped away the day's unbearable heat, and night had fallen. Winner after winner came to the stage to accept their Cannabis Cup prizes and thank their mom or whoever, but I found myself enthralled by the audience in front of me. I saw Rasta laughing, Rastas laughing with Americans, Europeans, and Jamaicans cheering in union, as well as industry professionals lighting up with the girl who told me early she barely coped. People from all walks of life were huddled together on a dark, wet beach to cheer on the success of others they probably didn't even know. Ross Liavi, the Roots Fest chairman, leader of the Rastafari Inity organization, and head of the Westmoreland Hemp and Ganja Farmers Association, took to the stage to make the night's final speech. The Nyabingi House drummers, who chanted, sang, danced, and drummed to the delight of the crowd, soon joined him. As I started to make way off the stage, Ross Liavi stopped me. I had seen him around all weekend, but never had the chance to introduce myself. Before I could open my mouth, he took my hands in his, looked me deep in the eyes, and smiled. Neither of us said a word. Peace, love, unity, ganja. Sure, it may sound like a cheesy rom-com starring Matthew McConaughey and Amy Schumer, Miley Cyrus makes a must-see cameo, but for 4 days, it was absolutely real. Wow, that's a moment. That's awesome. So who's going to Jamaica with me in, what, November? Is that when they have it? That's fantastic. Peace, love, and ganja. You know, they did some studies about, a lot of patients ask if it's okay to smoke while you're pregnant or smoke, you know, with kids around, or even pregnant people have come in to get certified. And they did some studies with Dr., what's the lady's name? I always forget her name. That did the Jamaican studies about women in pregnancy. We're going to find it, or one of our bloggers is, I know it. What's her name? It's right on the tip of my tongue. I don't know. But Dr. Melanie Dreher, is that it? We're going to get a confirmation on that. But she went and studied women, I'm sure for longer than this, but her study included 5 years of women before, during, and then after, until the kids were 2 years old. So she followed them. That's quite a bit, following them. And what their culture does is they use cannabis as, it's like a birthing rite, but it's also a healing juice for the babies when they're born. It's the first thing that they're given is the cannabis juice. Probably a fresh, raw cannabis juice. Yeah, yeah, Dr. Melanie Dreher, good job on the memory there. Ooh. Dr. Silver Sister being shy back there. She's a smart one. Keep her around for a while. Yeah, so you can check out Dr. Melanie Dreher. It's D-R-E-H-E-R. Is that it? Dr. And it's Melanie, D-R-E-H-E-R, Dreher. And that studies on pregnant women and weed. We'll just keep it simple. And this doesn't like when I type so fast. It tells me to slow down and take a break. And then everyone yells at me for typing. So I'm just trying to educate. Just doing the job, man. All right. So did you know that Mexico's high court upholds individual rights to cannabis? And they show slabs of Mexican sativa. Look at this picture. Is that something that you really want to, like, jump on? I mean, you could jump on it. It kind of looks like, you know what? It could be like a, you could, like, chop. And you could, like back in the, yeah, dip, shove it in there, and just, like, let it soak up in there, spit it out. Ba-ting. Come on, we're all West Sounds racks here. Dang it. In a 4-1 decision on November 4th, the Criminal Chamber of Mexico Supreme Court of Justice ruled that prohibiting the consumption and cultivation of cannabis for personal use is unconstitutional, thereby voiding 5 articles of the country's principal narcotic statute, the General Health Law. Holy cow! That's crazy. That's crazy awesome. The court found that the prohibition of cannabis use and cultivation for non-commercial purposes violates the right to free development of the personality. What? Free development of the personality, which is enshrined in Article 19 of the Mexican Constitution. Oh, I love it. That's awesome. The landmark decision applies only to the 4 individual plaintiffs in the case, but it lends weight to the legislation proposals being prepared in Mexico's Congress. Free development of the personality. The case was brought by the advocacy group Mexico United Against Crime on the behalf of the Mexican Association for Responsible Self-Consumption and Tolerance. Smart. I was wondering if they had something for that. That's too big of a mouthful. And they petitioned for the right to form a cannabis club. That petition was denied, and Smart challenged the refusal in the courts. Said Justice Arturo Zalvidar, who wrote the majority opinion, "No one has said at all that marijuana is harmless. It is a drug, and as such, it causes damage. What is being resolved here is the total prohibition is a disproportionate measure." Well, again, and free development of the personality. I love it. So check out Article 19 of the Mexican Constitution. I wonder what that means. I mean, you can just, like, do anything. Free development of the personality. We're going to have to look that up. That's a good one. Wow. Free development of the personality. That's really interesting. All right. Yeah, and pretty much you can do whatever you want. Free development of you means you do what you want to you, and it's on you. It's kind of like Arizona. It's not just the right to work state. It's the right to live state. If you live here, go for it. I dare you. That's what Arizona says. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's ghosts. There's ghosts here in Arizona. You can catch them here. You can catch them in Tombstone. You can catch them, you can catch them in Tucson. We've got one of the most haunted hotels. The Congress Hotels is, I think, the 13th most haunted hotels in the United States of America. And they're just some great places. So let's see. Afghanistan. A pyrrhic victory against opium. Did we read this one last time? I think we did. I think we read that one last time. We'll skip it. I apologize if we're repeating anything, but I'm by myself today. I was left because someone went to Hawaii without me. Oh, that's great. No, it's not. Holy anti-rollers. Okay, I like High Times High Fives things. They have these little things down the bottom of the corner. If you want to get your High Times and read along with me at any point, you can. At 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back of Tumbleweed Health Center. Come on down. Show support for the state of Arizona's medical cannabis program. They call it the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. They're getting ready to allow for more dispensaries. Look for your favorite Tumbleweed dispensary coming soon. Fingers and toes and everything else we can cross. And prayers from the Netherlands. We'll have a strain board that we can share with you like that from our own dispensary. So check it out. It's a pretty good program. It is kind of expensive. It's not like California. You have to pay $150 to the state of Arizona here. If you're on food stamps, they give you a discount, and then it's $75. Our first-time doctor fee is $85. Our renewals are just $65. Bring your card in and show us that you've done this before, and we'll help you out a little bit because it is kind of pricey. And we have a filing fee, but that's optional, $35. You can do it yourself. If you have a smartphone and computer at home, you can do it yourself. It's not so bad. But we'll do it for you and guarantee it's free. Most people just have us do it because it's scary. It's kind of daunting when you get on the website and they're like, okay, get a ruler. Take a picture with a white background, and they make you take like these, they give you these coordinates, and they're the same ones that they use for passport photos. So they tell people to like, they don't adhere to them, so don't worry about it. Just take your picture. Stand up against the background of weed and shoot. Okay, no, don't do that. They might drag you down that way, but anyway, come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center and let us do it for you. Give us a call, 520-838-4430. We apologize. Our doctors have been out sick off and on with the flu. It's been kind of crazy. We all know this flu season has been insane, so we really appreciate the patience that we've been given with that because it happens. The flu happens. So this week, today is Wednesday, tomorrow is Thursday, and Friday, so Wednesday, we don't have a doctor today. They're out sick today. That's okay. Come on down. If your doctors have already signed your state of Arizona paperwork, that's awesome, and you can bring it to us. We'll do the processing for you. It is a little daunting. Like I said, you can bring it to us, and we'll take your picture, and we'll type it all in and send all your forms in for you. You have to scan them and upload and download and sideload and just get loaded. I mean, it's what the program does. So come on down, bring it to us, and we'll do it. We have lots to sell down there. We've got these things called monsoon pipes, and they're glass. They're about, 4 or 5 inches long, 5, 6 inches maybe. And I'm not sure exactly how they work, but they're bitchin', I'm going to say it. There's like a little, it's like a bong inside a pipe. It's awesome. It's like when they stick a burrito inside a taco and call it a burrico. This is a pong. It's a pipe inside a bong. The pong. TM, you can't use it. So come get your pong at the Tumbleweed Health Center. So check it out. It's the monsoon. You put water in it, right? And then you put your weed in it. And then you light it on fire and you smoke it. And it's like it bubbles all up and it's got a good little filter. And I'm going to try and post a picture. And we'll see here. I'm going to try and get to my images here. Oh, Chameleon Glass is the company that makes them. And for some reason, I don't know if I can. Oh, here we go. No, I'll do it. I'll just post it. Here's a Google link. So I just typed in monsoon pipe, and this is what I found. And our Netherlands guy says, oh, yeah, I feel like the original Bush people bong, a Chillum. I do, too. You know what? That's so awesome. I love Chillums. In fact, I flew to L.A. recently, saying I was a doctor for the company. And that's what I went and bought. I always buy myself a Chillum now. I go get a, there's like, you can get them for like $5 or $10. And they've got a huge bowl on the end, and you just breathe in. It's pretty bitchin'. But if you check out these monsoon pipes, you can, we've got them on sale. We sell them cheap at Tumbleweeds. They're, how much? $74? $74. That's a really killer price. So come down. And we do have some of the colored ones. I think they're a little more expensive, but not much. $115. There's some really, really, really cool pipes. Anyway, they filter your weed after you put your weed in it. And then you smoke it. And it's really, it's like clear and smooth. And I don't know how to post pictures on here. Yeah. So I had to send a gargantuan link. Yeah, it's, I don't know what to do, so I'm not that tech savvy. We'll figure it out. Well, while we figure out how to post pictures, we're going to let you guys go and say, all right, thank you for joining Weed Day Wednesday. each and every morning. Don't forget our four-year anniversary is coming March 16th. We've got some killer guests coming on. Thanks to the Netherlands for always showing up and for all you bloggers and listeners calling in. Dare you to come on air sometime. We'll be back next week. Who knows? We'll be back. Who knows next week? I don't think Cannabis Kid is even back next week. So we're going to have some, we'll drag in some guest hosts. And we'll make Sissy and Sister speak a little louder, and we'll get her on air. She's shaking her head now, just like that guy used to do. Nope, not going to happen. They just get mumbled in the back, and you wonder, are they really talking about you? Anyway, wow, now we're getting, yep, there's Tech Guy. There he is. See? He's there. Hi, Tech Guy. He's mumbling us, so thank you for chiming in. It's a Wednesday, Wednesday, each and every week. Remember, be smart, be safe, and educate.